Okie dokie, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. Help us to be good students of your words. Help us to be faithful to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Calvinists try to jump springboard off of 1-4, and 2-1 is another one that they try to apply to Calvinism. The first letter of their flower, tulip, total depravity. What they mean is total inability when you read the wordings. So, okay, 2-1, and you, so it's a continuation of the first chapter, and you, the you is verse 1, saints at Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin. So in the verse, you can kind of figure out the word quickened by the opposite of dead, who were dead, you're quickened. You could go elsewhere also. John 6:63 is another place you could go to define the words. So why doesn't God just use the same word for everything? It's because of variety. And then there's a slight variation in some of the definitions. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin. So a Calvinist will teach that the unelect or the elect, well, they teach both, are so dead in that they can't respond. So they're totally unable to believe in Jesus. And so they have to be chosen to be one of the elect. So that's how they teach that. Another idea is who were dead in trespass and sin. The very first time the word dead is found in the Bible is in Genesis 20, verse 3, and that's Abimelech. And Abimelech, God spoke to him in a dream. I guess you could call it a nightmare. But the first thing he said to him is, "You're a dead man." Now, that's the first time the word dead is found in the Bible. So he's talking to a living man who can respond, and he said, "You're a dead man." And so it's a common phrase we usually say to somebody, "You're dead, man, you're dead," because you're in deep trouble, deep doo-doo, whatever. In the Bible, I would say that's the death sentence. So somebody's on death row, even though they're breathing, they are sentenced to die. Okay, and so that would have been Abimelech. What's amazing about that story with Abimelech is the Bible character Abraham was the bad guy, and Abimelech, the heathen, was the good guy, where Abraham lied to Abimelech, and Abimelech was very gracious in that, could have caused the death of him, and did cause a lot of problems. Very gracious to Abraham, and then when he confronted Abraham, Abraham didn't give a valid apology. He gave a typical fundamentalist apology. "I'm sorry, you're an idiot. You didn't understand what I was saying." And so that's a typical apology, where he justified him. "Well, she is my sister." Okay, so what was it that was caused him so much fear? Probably the human sacrifice of giants, but even at that. So now some teach, and I'm sure most of us have heard this, that when Adam sinned, the Lord said, "In a day thereof thou shalt surely die." He didn't die physically, but some say he died spiritually. I've heard that taught for time and time again. I didn't have an alternative for that choice. Mike Pearl teaches that they didn't die spiritually, and I kind of forget what he says. So that kind of gave me the first person that says it didn't buy the line he died spiritually. And it's one of those topics. How do you prove either way? Okay, you really can't prove it either way. What I have come to conclude is that Adam was put under the death sentence. Hence, he's a dead man, like Abimelech. Abimelech was put under a death sentence because of adultery. even though he didn't know. And so in the Old Testament, murder and adultery were a death sentence. Okay, and so Abimelech is, in Genesis 20, verse 3, the word dead isn't as we think it is. Dead was to a living person. He said that to a living, breathing man who made a decision. So living, breathing people who are dead in trespasses, sins, can make a choice. And then a lot of people will take that passage. Remember when the blind man said, we know that God heareth not sinners? Okay, but he did hear sinners in Jonah chapter 1 when they cried out. He did hear them. So that was, yes, it's a Bible statement, but that's an opinion of the blind man, and it's kind of the opinion of those people. So is that absolute true? I don't think so, because he heard Cornelius before he was saved. His prayers became a memorial. And so, but the idea of Abraham says, the Lord said to Abimelech, you're a dead man. He's living. He's under a death sentence. So in Ephesians 2, before salvation, we were all under the death sentence. Why? Because in Adam, all die. Okay, and so then you have in Luke 15, remember the prodigal son, where his dad said he was dead, but he is now alive. Okay, and then in 1 Timothy 5:6, he says, a woman that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And so if we take that and then follow it up with the next two verses, that's how the majority of people live. They live like dead people, zombies who are just following the course of this world. That's really how most people live. Okay, they're just existing. Now, the leftists think that they are the thinkers and they have freedom of thought. They think that, but if you go to Elon Musk, a car place where they're protesting, the leftists are protesting. There's been a bunch. There's two people that will go to these protests with MAGA hats on, and whoever is in charge, when they try to converse with somebody, they will push them away. It's like, what happened to freedom of thought? They won't let anybody talk to these people. And then, of course, they'll rouse them for doing that. Okay, but still, in Ephesians 2, before salvation, we're under the death sentence, Romans 5. For by one man, death, sin came into the world, and death by sin. So that's Adam. So the word die or dead, and then Jesus said, whoever believes these things shall never die. What does that mean? So I don't know if we fully understand the definitions that God gives us, the words that he gives us, because he's an immortal being and we're trying to figure out an immortal God. But in Ephesians 2, the word quicken clearly is the opposite of dead, so that's to be made alive. So before salvation, a person is dead in their sins and trespass. But the way it's written, who we're dead in. Sometimes people will say that a believer, say, is living in sin. Technically, a believer cannot live in sin. A believer can sin habitually and continually, but they're not in the sin. They're in Christ and they're committing sin. Okay, an example of that is, if you want to try, hold your finger here, go to Galatians 5, and then 1 Corinthians 6. People who teach, if they teach that once saved, always saved is a heresy, they have to believe they are sinless. And they have to believe, or if they commit sin, then they have repented. But they have to make sure they've got it all cleaned up before their last breath. They have to be that way. Now, what they really believe is they really believe that they personally haven't done anything that bad to warrant losing their salvation. They're not sinners. But you are. Everybody else is. Now, in 1 Corinthians 6, in the question is in verse 9, and so that gives us a clear idea. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, knowing not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So he's going to now describe unrighteous people. So how does he describe them? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, because they're in that sin, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Notice the person is identified with the sin. And shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Shall not inherit it, they shall not see it, they shall not enter it either. Okay, but there it is. I was preaching down at Danville Correctional Facility, and there was about 40 men in there. And I was hearing every once in a while this, amen. And I'm like, oh, gag. Got me a fruit. And so I just, you know, heard it three or four times, and I said, and waited in a little bit. And I said, people amen the things in the Bible they like, and all that stuff. Remember, it says the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And these guys are in there. At least that shut that amen down from then on out. And so there's more than one way to skin a cat. So in the 1 Corinthians 6, he is describing unsaved people, and the person is identified with the sin because they're in it. In the Galatians 5, many of the same sins are mentioned, but for the believer, these are called the works of the flesh. And notice how it's written in verse 19, adultery, not adulterer. Fornication, not fornicator. Uncleanness, lascivious, idolatry, not idolater. Witchcraft, that surprises some folks. Hatred, variance. Variance is removed in all the new Bibles because that is altering something formerly laid down in writing. So that's a work of the flesh aimed at the revisers. And then emulations is similar to jealousy, but it's a kind of a combination, envy, jealousy. It's somebody that is like jealous of a rival. Now, the revisers are jealous of the rivalry of the authority of this book. And so both of those two words, back to back, are removed in the new Bibles. Now, some would say, okay, these sins, this person's not going to heaven. Well, then if you keep reading, wrath, well, hatred, how about that one? Of course, Christians don't do that. Wrath, strife, of course, that church business meetings, seditions, heresies. Work out of flesh, envying, murderers. Okay, not murderers, drunkenness, revelings of such like. Now, these are born-again people who are going to forfeit, verse 21, an inheritance in the kingdom of God. They are promised to see and enter the kingdom of God. In that context, it will be the millennial kingdom. They're promised to see and enter it, but when they commit these, and I don't know what the criteria is, how, if it's a pattern, it's got to be a pattern, obviously. They will forfeit an inheritance. Okay, now the word inheritance used in both cases, the unrighteous will not even see it, enter it, or inherit. But the righteous, if they live like this, they will forfeit the inheritance. So, okay, that would be in Christ versus in Adam, in sin versus in righteousness. So he says, who were, in Ephesians 2, who were dead in trespass and sins. So trespasses, sin that we commit and harm another, like trespass, sin as in pride, envy, so forth, that's between that person and God. And then verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. The pressure that the world puts on. Now, COVID is a perfect example of the pressure. And it's kind of funny, mask and mark is one letter difference. Okay, and I would say possibly a trial run. Okay, but people walked according to the course of this world. Now, they think that they have liberty in their thinking, but what's influencing them as we keep reading? According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So this is why all of us at all times, when we get thoughts, we got to ask ourselves, where is that coming from? Okay, and it's spirits. Now, Satan's most of his activity now is a prince of the power of the air. He said in Isaiah 5 times, I will go up, 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 up 5 times. And in Ezekiel 28, God matched it and said 5 times, I will take you down, 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 down. So he was in the third heaven of the cherub, kicked out of that to the second, meaning kicked out, meaning, well, that's not a permanent abode. Then kicked out of the first to the second heaven. Okay, Jesus said he beheld Satan fall as lightning, kicked out of the second to the first heaven, the prince of the power of the air. That's most of his activity now. And it's words floating through the air. Words have wings, and those are spirits. I don't say they control people, but I do say they give them thoughts and influence them. And a person thinks that they came up with the original thought. You know, when we say, well, I thought of, did we really? Did God throw in the thought, the idea? Did a spirit throw it in? Okay, and so this is the influence, the spirits. Now, this is going to be talked more about in chapter 6. So according to the prince, of course, lowercase p, uppercase P is Jesus in Daniel 9. Prince of the power of the air, the spirit, so the spirit singular, but yet the spirit is multiple also. You know, it's like split personality. It's like the maniac, the singular maniac said, we are legion. That's where this pronouns came from, they and them. First time that's occurred is in Mark 5. Demon-possessed people. People possessed with devils. Now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you have in verse 2, children of disobedience. In verse 3, children of wrath. And then Jesus mentioned children of Satan. John 8:44. And he was talking to the Pharisees. Now I think that was literal, children of Satan, where he has children. Okay, and then you could do spiritual also. But here you have another step, children of disobedience, and then 3, children of wrath. They're under the wrath of God. John 3:36, you know, when a person doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus, he's under the wrath of God. And this is why they use words like hell and damn, because in their spirit, they know that they're under wrath. Okay, then in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So I would say children of wrath by nature would be step one, and you go backwards, children of disobedience, where they purposely are disobeying God, would be step up, and then there's a spiritual one, children of Satan, children of the devil, and then there could be literal children of the devil that are masquerading to be men, like Judas Iscariot was. So that's, and a person has different, you know, experiences in life, depends how you were raised. And so, you know, very fortunate here to be raised, you know, in a farming family and in a, I would say Christian family, but Dad was the first one, and Dad and I basically we got saved about the same time. And I remember in the mid '60s, we were in the Dutch Corner Church, and the Dutch Corner Church in the wintertime, I think they had moved the Sunday night service to 2 because they had a lot of dairy farmers. And so that way they could milk in the morning and milk in the evening and not miss church. But after Dad got saved, he questioned the dominee, the pastor, and I don't even think the guy, Dad said, I don't even think that guy was saved. Because he asked if he was a believer. He said, I've always been saved. So he would have been one of the elect. So then, you know, then we left the Dutch Corner and started Community Bible Church in DeMott. And we started that, and there's a Lutheran church, and it's still there. The building is, it went to Pentecostal. Now, the Lutherans were done with church at 9 o'clock. Boy, were they early birds. And we came in a church at 9:15 and had it all day long. And it's funny, one time Pastor Tom, we had a good pastor for 5 years, real good man. They were King James, but they didn't know why. One time two, I don't know if they were jailbirds, came into church. And about halfway through the church, one of them walked up to the pastor, whispered something, then they walked out. And people asked, what did he ask? He said he asked for permission to leave. Give him credit, you know. He was trying to be polite about it. But I remember that thing sloped down. And, you know, I'm 12 years old. I remember it sloped down on an Easter. Somebody dropped their Easter egg way in the back, and I heard that thing all the way down to the front. But, yeah, and then we started Community Bible Church. I mean, that's where we started in there with 6 families, mostly my cousins. 3 of my dad's sisters, my dad, and then a farmer from Boone Grove. And that's how we started that church. So, and then Wilmer Coy. Wilmer Coy was my Sunday school teacher in junior high, and he had the ability to water witch. He could go get a little branch and make it in a Y, and that thing would bend down to where he, you know, the water was. And he actually had me hold one, and he held, and I could not stop that thing. Now, it didn't work for me, but I think it's a chemistry in the body. And so he had found a well for the church, Community Bible Church, and they got working, and Dad covered it up on purpose. And he said, hey, Wilmer, we need to find that spot. Right to the same spot. Dug right to where it was. And so, yeah, those are good memories from those days. So I had a good man for 5 years, and then we got a Calvinist in and new versions. And then Dad tried to work with that for 5 years. And then that's what brought us here. Because we just, you know, the pastor's going to do what he wants. So with all that, okay, as far as verse 2 and 3, people are just walking, and they're not even considering their, you know, beliefs about things. Verse 2 and 3, that's just how people are. And so when we try to give them the gospel, they're like asleep. And if you ever try to wake somebody to sleep, they're going to react. So, but the glorious thing, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. Boy, is that not an understatement? For his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. He had to throw that in thought. And notice after save, you got an emoji there with a smile and he's winking at you. And so... so if we skip the parentheses, for when we were dead in sins and quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So how could you lose that? Are you going to heaven? Yep, I'm already there. Then they really think you're nuts. I'm there in Christ Jesus. See how precise that's written. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What are we going to do out throughout eternity? Well, one thing is God's going to show us how gracious he is. And we're going to say, well, yeah, that's the truth. So the grace of his kindness. Okay, then... obviously, these next two are well-known verses. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, so what is the gift? Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. So is faith the gift, or is grace the gift? Or is both of them the gift? So faith is a noun. Believe is a verb. So believe is what triggers the noun. Faith, and then grace is given. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Okay, a friend of mine, he believes it's the faith that's given. So he told me he was just teaching that the other day, and some fundy was in there, and as soon as he said that, he walked out. You got to be so hypersensitive like that. Well, it's the grace. Okay. Let me give you a 3x5 card and write everything you know on that, write legibly, and I'll give it to somebody who cares. Okay, and so... is it faith that's a gift or grace is a gift? I don't care. I got both. But it is a gift. Okay, if you would go to John 6. Now, a water dog is going to say that when you believe, that becomes a work. So according to the water dog, when you believe, that's a work. And then what he does is he says, see, then you got to baptize, you got to repent. You got all those are works, and believe is a work. And so faith alone, and then they'll use the cliche, faith alone, faith alone, faith alone, you faith alone people. That's only found one time in James chapter 2, and you got to have works. And so then they'll say, believe is a work. But this is the verse they use, John 6:29. Jesus answered, said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And if a person reads through it, okay, I can see that. Yeah, but they have to drop the prepositional phrase of God to make it say what they want. When we believe, God's work takes over. That's God's work. That's why we can't lose it. And he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. So this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Now, that's the new birth. It was prophesied in the great crucifixion psalm, Psalm 22, 30 and 31, introduced by Jesus to Nicodemus in John 3, but was instituted at Calvary upon his death and then resurrection 3 days later. That's the new birth. And so a born again person cannot get unborn again, just like I cannot change my DNA from my parents. And they never answer that when you throw that in their face. You know, then they're going to run to Matthew 24 and in Hebrews 6. And I told this one guy doing that, I said, why are you always going to the Jewish passages? And then he said, you're a racist. I never got accused of that, talking about the Jews in the Bible. You've been watching too much television. Are you normal? I mean, what a thing. He keeps going Hebrews and James 2 and Matthew 24. These are all Jewish passages. And it's just amazing. And so somebody like that, you just say, I'm sorry, I am not to your level, I'm not sinless like you, so see you later. Maybe I can become sinless like you someday. And so whatever. And so it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, folks who refuse to see the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament are going to say that applies from Adam all the way through. Well, if that's the case, then why in the world did David pray, take not thy Holy Spirit from me?
Right.
Why in the world did the Spirit of God leave Samson and come back to him? Why did the Spirit of God leave Saul and not come back to him? I mean, you may not understand the differences. I'd say just admit first there are differences. And Leviticus 1:4 is the one you get them on. So ask them that. There's atonement there. In Romans 5:11, atonement there. Tell me which one you're going to apply to yourself. And the guy, when I did that, I'm not answering that. Because it exposed what he believed. So, and he was a racist because he rejected it. He didn't want the Jewish one anyway. Oh, well. Now, verse 10. Now, here's another one for lordship salvation. And of course, these folks are going to say, see, you don't work to get saved. You don't work to stay saved. You work because you are saved. And nice cliche. But then who's going to qualify what work you got to do? Depends what denomination you're in. So we are his workmanship. God is working in us. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Creation is different than made or formed. Okay, those three words are found, I think, Isaiah 45 in that range. I forget which number. Where all three words are used, and that tells us they're not the exact same thing. Creation is creating something out of nothing. Formed, he breathed into Adam the breath of life. That was a creation. But he formed his body from the clay. It's taken something he already has and reformed it and made. And so that answers in the Ten Commandments where he said he made heaven and earth in 6 days. That was the Genesis 1:3 through the 6 days. He created heaven and earth in Genesis 1, and then there's a gap in there.
Amen.
So they're going to run that. They don't pick up on the idea. It says made. And these are uniquely different. And this says that we are created. Our new man is created in us. We're born in the image of God at that moment. Okay, and so created in Christ Jesus on good works. That's the purpose, what he wants us to do. Okay, but then he says, which God hath before ordained that we will walk in them? Or does it say should? We should walk in them. Yes, we should. And I think this is also another idea when you go back to the Ten Commandments where it says that we're not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, most people teach that that's about saying gosh, golly, darn gee, and all that stuff. But it didn't say thou shalt not use the Lord's name lightly. We shouldn't. But that's not what it's saying. If that's a marriage covenant between God and Israel, when Israel took God's name, the E-L on the end is God, that's like the wife taking the man's name. And the purpose of that marriage between God and Israel is the same purpose for marriage, is to bear fruit. And when Israel didn't bear fruit, God did not hold them guiltless. And so if you run the phrase in vain, Exodus 20 is the first occurrence, if my part-timers hasn't kicked in. Okay, it's Exodus 20 is the first time, and then there's two times in Leviticus, and it's about people sowing seed in vain. The seed's in the ground, so a farmer's putting seed in the ground, but if they don't get the harvested, they sowed it in vain. It was in the ground. They didn't get the benefit from it. And so when we become God's workmanship, our purpose is unto good works. And if we do not fulfill that, then we will not be held guiltless. We're going to be punished for that. And then that you go into Galatians 5, you deal with the inheritance of the kingdom of God, and you get into that idea. And if an Arminian would discover that, hopefully they would give up their viewpoint about eternal insecurity. You see, two wrongs don't make a right. And that's what they're doing. They think if you're not living the way I live, then you're not right with God. And all that stuff. And then they say something like, well, you eternal security, I want saved, always saved people. You believe that because you can live the way you want and get away with it. And then I just say, well, you probably are saying that because that's what you would like to do. Because that's why you're saying it. Isn't that why you're saying it? Romans 2 verse 1, somebody judges another because they do the same thing. That's what they want to do. And then I would say, we don't believe that at all. Okay, we just believe that we're eternally secure as our soul, but we're going to suffer loss if we don't live properly. And that's not a good thing to be, a good investment of the Lord. Okay, so up to 10. Any questions or comments we've covered? We're going to try to set up in the gym, right? Jen, where'd she go? Oh, is she playing in the back room? My spiritual wife is playing with little kids in the back room. She'd probably have more fun. So, okay, yeah, we're going to set up some tables and stuff in the gym. We'll get to try to gym out with the soundproofing. So, kind of curious to see how that works out. Any prayer requests you might